I want to turn to the book of Jonah, chapter 2. Jonah, chapter 2, I want to begin reading in verse 7. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Here we have a prayer from the belly of a fish. And I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I'm telling you, that's tough. That's tough. You don't see it in here. But if that was me, there would be a paragraph about panicking. Okay? That's what would be there. Unless by his grace he stopped me. But he says this word, these words. What is it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 words. And I've used them repeatedly, and I will continue to use them repeatedly. Salvation is of the Lord. That's what I want to talk about. That's my title, Paul. But before that, I want to give you three true statements. I don't know who wrote them because I didn't look them up. And all that Henry Mayen wrote down, it says, long ago someone wrote. It's good stuff, though. Because God is a living God, he can hear us. Because God is a loving God, he will hear us. Because God is a covenant God, in Christ he has bound himself to hear all who call upon him through Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's what we see here in Jonah. And I'll add this one statement on the end of that. Salvation is of the Lord. Yeah. Salvation is of the Lord. That's what I want to preach today. What is meant by this gracious proclamation? Because here he is. I mean, seriously, he's in the belly of a fish at the bottom of the sea. And this is what he said. Oh my, I'm going to tell you something. He kills, then he makes alive.
Yeah.
You're going to know you're a sinner and full of sin before he ever saves you. Or before you know of your salvation, put it that way. So here it is. I've got five different things here. And the first one is this. Salvation is of the Lord in its beginning. In its beginning. Now, let me just read this. This is Ephesians 1, verse 3 and verse 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. That we should be. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. In love. I like that. Now I'm going to start off with a declaration here. Salvation does not begin with you. Now you might think that. But God will change your mind. He's got to change a lot of things about you. Because I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to know that salvation is of the Lord until you've been in the belly of the fish. Until you've been down, you're not going to know what it means to be up. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. we believers are the only people who do know the difference between down and up. Because
yeah.
a lot of people think they're up, but their feet are still stuck in the miry clay.
Yeah.
A lot of people think they're on top and on the rock, but they're still in the pit. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to know that your feet are on the rock until you know you've been in the pit. God saves sinners. And God saves sinners who know they are sinners.
Yeah.
What was it Henry said? An honest man will be saved. Because an honest man's going to know he's a sinner.
Yeah.
Oh. Salvation does not begin with man at all. We weren't there before the foundation of the world. Except in the mind of God. But we weren't there. The world wasn't even there. What part of this do people not want to have? They don't want to have God making the choice. They don't want to have God making the choice without our input. But no, this was made between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. This declaration was made before the foundation of the world. The beginning of the salvation of God starts with God. Salvation is of the Lord from the very beginning. Father, Son, and Spirit. It began in the mind of God, the thoughts of God, and the purpose of God. Before Adam and Eve, God had a people. God chose a people. And he chose those people in his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I like that. I do. You understand? When you know you're a sinner, you know that we'd corrupt anything we touched. You understand? My dad used to say about me, there wasn't nothing made that I couldn't break. And there was ample evidence to that statement. I can touch something and it turned to dirt. You understand? I can put a wrench on it and either break the wrench or the bolt. Or both. But you understand this. Salvation is of the Lord. From the beginning. From the very beginning. The Father, before the world began, chose us in Him. Christ, the well-beloved Son. Oh, I like that. And it says, He chose us in love. In love. Not love for you. In love for his Son. In love for his Son. He gave to his Son a people. He gave us to his Son. Oh, I like that. And we are, what? Blessed. Blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, you want to know something really strange that the world would not understand? Jonah was blessed while he was in that fish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why did you say something like that? That was horrible. It was miserable. Yes, it was. And I hate to break your bubble. If you don't know this, God will make you miserable before he'll make you happy. And being miserable, being made miserable by God, is a blessing indeed. Because I'm going to tell you something. Being made miserable by God is a promise that good things are coming. Good news is coming. Oh, I like that. Because you understand, what was it Spurgeon used to say? The thing that hurt most people around was good fortune. Blessings. Money. No, you understand. People don't think of God until they're down.
Right.
We don't. I'll admit it. You understand? Until you're in trouble, you got no need to call up. He'll put you in trouble.
Yeah.
He put Jonah in trouble. And Jonah called out, and he heard.
Yeah.
He heard. Oh, I like that. God chose us in love. We are blessed in Christ Jesus. From long before, even it was said, let us make man in our own image. Ah, I like that. You know what he said? The earth was without form and void. We were already in Christ Jesus. Chosen in Christ Jesus. Isn't that a glorious thought? Ah, but I can tell you, the world won't have it. But the beginning of salvation is of the Lord. Now the second thing, salvation of the Lord is in its purchase. The salvation is of the Lord in its purchase. Isaiah 53 and verse 5 says this, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace, what? Was upon him. Upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Not with our acceptance of his stripes. Not with our acknowledgement of his stripes. But with his stripes. With his stripes. Verse 10 says this. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. You understand what I'm saying is the salvation of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. Had a price. Had a price. It had a price. And I said that in the past tense purposefully. Because right now, where we're looking at it from, where Isaiah was looking at it from, was the future. We're looking back to the past. Because it has happened. Salvation had a price. A price we human beings could not pay. Justice had to be satisfied. The justice of God. The justice of God. The soul that sins shall surely die. That's just as true as every other piece of scripture. You understand? That's just as true. What is it? The guilty cannot go free, and the price had to be paid for the salvation of man. That salvation is of the Lord. And he did. Jesus Christ did pay that price. He purchased our salvation with his own precious blood. The God-man, our kinsman redeemer, redeemed us. Redeemed us to God by his death on the tree. These sins, all the sins of all of his people were laid on him. All the sins of all of his people, what? He bore them in his body on the tree. He was made a curse for us. He who knew no sin became sin. What? For us. For us. He took all of the guilt and sin and transgressions of his people upon himself, and he paid it all. Every single one. I was told once at a Baptist church by a Baptist preacher that Jesus Christ took all the sins of all the people of all the world except unbelief. That's how they try to rationalize particular redemption. They don't believe it. And you have to believe to get rid of that sin. And I told him, unbelief is a sin. If Christ didn't shed his blood for it, if he didn't pay for it, it's not paid. And to offend in one point is to be guilty of all. Anyhow, that didn't do a lick of good, but that's what they say. He paid it all. He redeemed, purchased his people, the ones the Father gave him from before the foundation of the world. What does it say in Hebrews? He obtained eternal redemption for us. For us. Oh, I like that. He sees his seed. Oh, he sees his seed. His soul was the offering for sin for us. And it says it in Hebrews also. Once. Once. There was only one offering. There was only one offering to God, and it was accepted by the Father. Oh, I like that. What? He has justified, and it says this, many. Many. Why? Why? He bore their iniquities. The Lord Jesus Christ has paid the purchase price in full. Has redeemed his people from their sin. We belong to Jesus Christ. You understand? Paul calls himself a bond slave, a slave of love. But you understand, Jesus Christ owns us. He paid the price for us. Now, a lot of people might have trouble with that, but I don't. That's what Paul's saying when he's a bond slave. That's my owner. That's my Lord. Ah, I like that. The purchase of salvation is of the Lord. Thirdly, salvation is of the Lord in its application. Galatians 1 and verse 15, these are the words of the Apostle Paul. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. That call of his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Now let's be very, very clear. When this happened, it happened when it pleased God. That's part of the application. You understand? When it pleased God, what? To reveal his son in me. That's when it happened. Yeah. Not when it pleased Saul of Tarsus. Not when it pleased anybody else. Didn't matter who was there or who wasn't there. It was the time. Oh, I like that. Because here it is. You look at when that happened. It's in Acts chapter 9. I'm not going there. But Saul of Tarsus was not seeking God. Matter of fact, almost the exact opposite. Saul of Tarsus was not looking for Jesus Christ. He was looking for people who used the name of Jesus Christ, for the disciples of Jesus Christ. Why? To arrest them and put them into prison. Saul of Tarsus was what? Breathing out threatenings to the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because here's the thing. Saul of Tarsus thought he knew God. He thought he knew God. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Pharisee. According to the law, blameless. He'll tell you that later on. But here's the thing. Saul of Tarsus thought he knew God, but Saul of Tarsus was wrong. Saul of Tarsus was wrong. A light came from heaven and shined round about Saul, and he ended up on the ground. And a voice spoke from heaven to him, saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And what did Saul of Tarsus, this Hebrew of Hebrews of the tribe of Benjamin, a Pharisee who studied with Gamaliel, what did this man say? Lord, who art thou? Saul of Tarsus didn't know God, wasn't looking for Jesus Christ. Because I'm going to tell you something, though, that is a good question. If you don't know, ask. Who art thou, Lord? The Lord will answer a question like that. And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Oh. I am Jesus. What did he say? Whom you persecute. You know what that was? That was God revealing his son in Saul of Tarsus, right there. What? In God's good time. Oh, I like that. When it pleased God. Oh, he separated me from my mother's womb. I was born when I was supposed to. And he called me by his grace. What? To reveal his son in me. Now, I was going out, Saul said, I was going out to arrest his disciples and put them in prison. And God saved him. God saved him. Salvation is of the Lord in its application. What is this? 1 Timothy, Paul wrote this. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, what? For a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. The salvation of the Apostle Paul is for a pattern. For us. This is the pattern of the salvation of all the brethren of the Lord Jesus Christ who believe on him to life everlasting. What's it say? In the book of John, there's going to come an hour when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Shall live. That's what happened to the Apostle Paul. Now, what happens now to us may not be as dramatic, but it's no less miraculous. Because that's what happens. Christ speaks to his people, what? When it pleases God. And they that hear shall live. But you're not going to hear until he gives you ears to hear. What? Those with circumcised heart and circumcised ears. Oh, I like that. He speaks and the dead in trespasses and sins live. They hear the voice of the Son of God. What? When? When they don't know him. Who art thou, Lord? They hear when they don't know him, and he circumcises the heart and ears of his people when it pleases God, and he sends them the gospel. And they believe. Oh, I like that. But they believe by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Salvation is of the Lord in its application. You understand, even right now to this day, we hear and we believe by the working of his mighty power. It's in Ephesians 1. Oh, I like that. The application of the salvation of God is of the Lord. Amen. It's of the Lord. Now, fourthly, salvation is of the Lord in its preservation. 1 Peter 1 and 5 put it this way, who are kept by the power of God through faith, unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Understand, no man or woman keeps themselves saved. Understand, I've said this to you guys before. I hear it. I used to hear it all the time, but I no longer work around that individual. All I know is that you got to live it, brother. You can't. You can't live it. You can't live it. We are kept by the power of God through faith. You understand? If you believe God today, it's because of the power of God. Yeah. Well, if you believe God tomorrow, that's because of the power of God. Yeah. It's not because of you. What does it say? The promise of God. This is Hebrews 13 and verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For, what? He hath said, I will never leave thee. nor forsake thee. And I'm going to put this in here. If you're one of his, no matter what you do, he's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you because you're his. If you are his, you're his. Oh, I like that too. You can't go anywhere where the Lord's not there. That's what David said in the Psalms. If I ascend up into heaven, you're there. If I go down in the deeps, there you are. If I go out in the woods and hide, if I go out fishing on the bank, God is there. Oh, you can't go anywhere the Lord is not. And he'll never, never forsake you if you are his. Well, this is one of my favorite verses. 2 Timothy 2 and 13. If we believe not, if something happens, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. For he cannot deny himself. Understand, when the Father gave us to the Son before the foundation of the world, we're his. We were chosen in him. We are brought to be in him. He's the head, we're his body. He can't deny himself. Why? Because he lives faithful. He abides faithful. Oh, I like that. And he is faithful to his people. Faithful to his promises, faithful to his Father, faithful to himself. He cannot deny himself. The preservation of salvation is of the Lord.
Amen.
And lastly, this is the fifth thing. Salvation is of the Lord in its ultimate completion. Philippians 3 and verse 20 says this, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." He's going to change our vile body. He's going to change your vile knees, Ellen. I got tired of kidney stones years ago. Oh, our vile bodies. I want a new body. I want it to be like unto his glorious body. I want this mortal to put on immortality. I want to be like my Lord. That's what I want. And I think that's what you want. I want to see him as he is, Walter. Like face to face. I want to see face to face. No, I like this one. I want to know even as I am known. By gollies, that's a promise. Oh my. I want to be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and I want to ever be with the Lord. He's promised. He's promised. And I can tell you this about his promises. He is going to bring it to pass. I purpose it. I'll do it. And that's all a promise is. It's a purpose of God he's told us about. There are a lot of purposes of God he hadn't told us about. But these are the ones that he has told us about. Oh, I like this. He has promised and he is able to perform that which he has promised. Real quick. "And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." That's John 6, verse 39 and 40. How many times does Jesus Christ have to say something for it to be true? Well, once. But he said this twice. That don't make it double true. It just makes it true. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I will raise him up at the last day. Folks, that's a promise. That's a promise. He said, if I go away, I'm going to prepare a place for you. What? That where I am, there you're going to be. Oh, I like that. Oh. You know, everyone that believes the Son, Christ said he's going to raise him up. All that the Father draws to me, he says, I'll raise him up. Oh, I like that. All the Father gave me, I will raise them up. Understand, we're told there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells, lives righteousness. Righteousness. And the bride of Christ, the people of God, those chosen from before the foundation of the world, will be there by His grace and His power, His mercy and His righteousness. All of His brethren will be there in the ultimate, the completion of our salvation. Why? Because that is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. Now, this is the Lord. This is His work. This is what He has done. This is what He is doing. And this is what He shall continue to do. Now the question is, do you believe Him? Do you believe Him? You don't have to believe me. You have to believe His word. He's given us this word. He's preserved this word. He's translated it into English for us. You don't have to believe me, but I want you to believe Him. And this is what He said. Because salvation, in every aspect of salvation, is from His gracious hand. Salvation is from the Lord. From beginning to end. It's the work of the Almighty God, our Lord Jesus Christ. And I can tell you this, anything else is a lie. You understand? Anybody wants to add anything to what our Lord Jesus Christ has done, well, Paul said, let him be anathema forever. Cursed from God. Let me read you one little thing here. I just caught this verse the other day. This is Psalms 145 in verse 5. And it just kind of hit me. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. And you know what hit me about that? Well, read this way. Happy is he that hath the God of the usurper. Understand? I need God to save sinners.
Yeah.
And if you know the story of Jacob, if you look at it, I'm not going to go into it. Just a little bit. Understand? Jacob was just like Saul of Tarsus. He wasn't looking for God. He was running from his brother. Why? Because he usurped his birthright. And what happened? He wasn't looking for God. God found him. And gave him a new name. Not usurper, but what? Israel. Prince with God. Oh, I like that. I like that. Because I can tell you the truth, folks. I wasn't looking for God when he found me. I wasn't looking for Jesus Christ when he found me. But I was looking at after that. Salvation is of the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for this time and this place. But Lord, thank you for your so great a salvation, so perfect a salvation, so wonderful a salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ, that we don't know half of what we have. Be with Paul and Walter as they come to speak. Be with others as they come to preach your word. And we'll give you all the honor and glory that we can, now and forever, because it is yours. Amen.